Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Top five thoughts on the crisis in the ACC, and it certainly is that. I don't want to be hyperbolic, but they are facing down a crisis, and it is obviously different because this one's in the light of day, as where every other, you know, transfer or conference realignment thing is under cover of night. But this, like, if you go back in the history of this and you look at John Swofford to Jim Phillips, I've got a lot of Larry Scott, George Kliavkov vibes here. Jim Phillips maybe a little bit more in control because he's got this long TV deal, but the decisions along the way kind of feel very similar. Like, it's I'm sure that Clemson and Florida State were watching the Pac-12 and going, like, other than this TV deal, there's a lot of things involved here. But number five, the ACC really doesn't want to know who else wants out. So if they had a, you know, should we have a vote on, you know, who should we sue or should we do a lawsuit? The problem is that there'd be some people there who are like, yeah, I don't know if you should do one. And then you find out, like, oh, you've probably even got a bigger problem than you want to look in the face. Even though you know that, like, having that reality that Virginia and North Carolina could be in this, or even though Miami was, is against Florida State leaving the conference right now, if they're out, their ideas could change. All of those things, it would be a stark dose of reality to the ACC if they found out
what if they did
how everybody really felt.
If they did a blind draw where the names of the logos were not on, who was on this side of the table, they didn't want to know.
I think that even still, they have some numbers that wouldn't, you know.
At least an idea.
Well, here's the thing is they know at least part of who wants out because of what happened earlier last year. Clemson and Florida State are the obvious, but there was all of the reports surrounding Miami and North Carolina, obviously, is what I think Ross Dellinger described as a linchpin in this entire thing, like the Jenga piece that you could pull that craters the entire game. NC State, we know the back and forth there on the state of North Carolina, and then the two Virginia schools, Virginia and Virginia Tech. So at least at one point in time, it was known that those were the Magnificent Seven that were involved in wanting out. So, yeah, I mean, is there some others to add to that list? Is it all still those same schools? I mean, clearly Florida State and Clemson have been as public as they possibly can. But, yeah, if you're the ACC, I think you're just kind of clutching your pearls and waiting for potentially another shoe to drop, and then how many keep dropping and dropping and dropping, and how long does that list become as this all plays out?
Yeah. Number four, after the CFP announcement, how could this not happen? I mean, honestly, like, that was because – saying out loud by that contract that you are worth less than the Big Ten gives Clemson the ammo they need to jump on the other side and to come out of the shadows. That's the thing that I think it had to be, and I'm sure Jim Phillips maybe even saw this coming, in that as soon as they hear this, then Clemson has what they need to deal with their people. Because I think that's part of it with Clemson, because Florida State can be out there and loud, and, you know, the fans of Clemson can be like, ah, those jerks, you know, like they're always causing trouble or they're always this way. And then you don't want to be like, you don't want to seem to be completely aligned with them. You've got to wait for the PR tide to turn. And then as it turns over the months, you can be, you have people going, well, why aren't we in on this? Or how do we feel about this? And they've been very quiet. And then when you find out, like, oh, you're getting half the money that the Big Ten is, then they can be like, well, now you know how we feel about this. Whether it's right or wrong, that I think is a huge part of this.
This is what's so weird to me, though, is how rigged up this all is. Yeah. Because ESPN or other networks control how much they're making and will continue to control how much they're making because they're going to make whatever is offered to them. And so they can intentionally...
Like Tim just said it. They're the only network.
Yeah, and so they can intentionally lowball them to force members to want to get it. And it's like it just makes you... It's like I said a couple weeks ago, whoever came up with the start of this grand plan... Like, you couldn't have predicted every way that it's played out because some moves were forced by other moves happening, like Texas and Oklahoma. We weren't supposed to find out about that when we found out about that. Mm-hmm. That was just somebody leaking to Brent Zornman, and then all hell broke loose. But, yeah, like, it's just – it's really weird how the strings are pulled behind the scenes and how those who stand to benefit the most are also the ones in controls of the levers. And it, I don't know. Does that make sense? It's just – it's very strange. But yeah, absolutely. After the announcement about how much the AC or the SEC and the Big Ten were going to get, I mean, again, who's that being offered by? The same ones that controlled the ACC, and they're basically telling them, like, "You sure you don't want to leave the ACC? You sure we can't convince you to come join the SEC and be a part of our brand?" So yeah, I mean,
it's
you
like
see
a
those...
boss who continues to like annoy you and frustrate you and downgrade you, and eventually he wants you to leave, but he's going to make you make that decision.
Yeah, basically is what's happening. And so, yeah, they're going to get mad at the Big 12 or at the, you know, the whoever, and the whole time it's their own in their own house that's pulling all of the strings behind the scenes, really. But, yeah, after that was out, I mean, clearly if you're Florida State or Clemson, you're looking at the money gap and you see how large it is and how much larger it stands to grow, and you – have already declared how you can't sustain the success that you've had and compete at the highest level if the money figures are going to continue to drift apart. And as we saw, there's only more and more and more going into the favor of two leagues, and neither one is the ACC. So, yeah, it was basically the last straw of like, all right, there's no turning back now. If y'all want to stay a part of this club, you better go ahead and make your move. Otherwise, you're going to sit there and be relegated, so to speak.
Yeah. Number three. How many teams would not have landing spots? And I can tell you right now, it would be a struggle for Boston College, Wake Forest, and SMU right off the bat. Cal and Stanford essentially had to beg their way into the league anyway, and they're schools that you would have thought would have landing spots at any other time in college sports, but Those three stand out. And SMU, it especially sucks for them because of everything they've given up or tried to do to get into one of these power leagues. Man. And then for this one to turn around and fall apart.
All the waiting and having to almost go through hell because of the past. No. And then you get your chance, and it may not even be there in a couple of years.
Yeah, so there's three schools that I would say are those first three I mentioned, SMU, Boston College, and Wake Forest, that would be there in the not quite maybe in the same, but Oregon State, Washington State category of like, I don't know what we're going to do.
Right.
And then there's a bunch of tweeners that well, I say a bunch, but NC State, Syracuse, Stanford, Cal, Virginia Tech, and Georgia Tech would be kind of tweeners. And then I think that, you know, and this is just on the ones that are not the obvious ones that would leave. I would say that Pitt, Louisville, Duke would have homes for sure because of basketball. I mean, just for sure. I mean, Pitt in the Big 12 makes so much sense. I wish it would happen tomorrow.
Their fans that I see don't seem to want that, but I don't know what your options are going to be if this all falls through the way it is.
You know, and again, Louisville in the Big 12 should have probably already happened years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't. That's not how it went down. So, I mean, those I could see. And then it goes worse with Brett Yormark. If you're hot for UConn, man, you'd be really hot for Duke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so. You would think so. Yeah, I mean, I've seen various kind of breakdowns of this and various people, you know, claim or predict how, like, these will all shake out. I think the most interesting one is Miami because there's reason to believe, well, it's Miami. They're going to be in the Big Ten of the SEC. It's like, well, not so fast. I don't know, man. I don't know if it's that automatic. Like, that's not as big of a school as probably a lot of people think. And I just find them to be kind of a fascinating case because
they're probably in the more in that level with Pitt and Louisville where they're going to wind up somewhere.
Yeah, for sure.
But it may not be the place that they thought they were going
for sure.
To.
Yeah. And maybe they do get a Big Ten or SEC invite if it came to that, but maybe they don't. And then you're looking at, like the Big 12, and that would be a tough pill to swallow for South Florida fans, but that might be what the option is. So that to me is a team that you can't really, or I can't seem to really know, like, you know, kind of for sure on some of these, all but right, not that one.
All right, let's say Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, they go somewhere else.
Virginia would too.
Virginia. Of all the other ones left, if you could pick your four among the remaining schools, if the Big 12 could dream and get them, who would they be?
Mine would be Louisville, Duke, Pitt, and
Miami.
You know what? Yes. Yeah. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, I'd say, man, that's tough.
That'd be fun.
Because I feel like there's things that I don't know that would help me in making this. Like, if I went and looked and researched a little bit, would NC State suddenly be one of those four?
Yeah,
you know,
maybe,
like, and so.
And by the way, if you're a fan of some of the teams we're not trying to, like, dismiss you.
Judging.
We're just talking amongst ourselves.
Believe us, over here in this corner of the college football conference world, we're not judging anybody else's conference in realignment.
I've been there a lot.
I don't want to, like, I ideally would just, like, if Florida State and Clemson are going to leave, I think for the ACC, I hope they stay together, and this is number two on the list, I hope they would stay together in spite of that, and just those two leave. I don't think that's what's going to happen, though.
Yeah, I don't think that'll probably be what happens either. I'm with you, though. That would be the easiest solution for everybody, and that way you still maintain at least four conferences. But I would, the only ones I would say first, I mean, Georgia Tech would be a hell of a pull, you know, like it's kind of hard, but I'd
Atlanta,
say,
Georgia.
But Georgia Tech's going to start caring again.
Right. Yeah.
Like that's part of their problem is they're kind of off in this like void where back in the day, Georgia Tech used to super care about their sports. Mm-hmm. And then since things have changed and things have gotten so big, not that they don't, but they don't care to the level that, say, Clemson
does. Well, they also have an 800-pound gorilla who's always been an 800-pound gorilla that's now flexing their 800-pound gorilla muscles in Georgia right next to
exactly.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Louisville-Miami jump right off the page. Like, that would be automatic, I think, if you could bring those two. Pitt for West Virginia would be fine. For me, again, I would need to do more info to really have a solid four. So Louisville-Miami would be, like, automatic. Like, yes, they take two of the four spots. The other two, between all of the options, I would have to kind of weigh that a bit more.
Okay. All right.
No, like I said, is there a way they can keep together? I'm going to throw an addendum on this and maybe take a little bit of a left turn. I think One of the other issues I didn't put on here, but I brought it up to Steven Simcox earlier, is for Notre Dame, who's involved in this, but not football-wise, if the ACC breaks up, they need to find a place to park their other sports. I will contend that based on Notre Dame needing autonomy and a little more control over things, mind you, SMU, Stanford, and Cal are in, due in large part to the fact that Notre Dame told the ACC to do it, and they did. They can't necessarily do that in the SEC or the Big Ten. No. I would say that the place they would park their other sports would be the Big 12, because they could go in and go, hey, Big 12, we'd like to do the same deal we had with the ACC, and we'd like to, you know, we'd like to throw our weight behind you. And the Big 12 would say yes so fast, Notre Dame couldn't finish
the
sentence.
If Notre Dame was involved, you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, so like what I'm saying is the Big 10 and, because if Notre Dame wanted to be in the Big 10 or the SEC, right now this morning they could call up and do it. They could totally call up and do it. Nothing's stopping them from doing that at all. And so, you know, so they haven't. And the reason they haven't is their autonomy. I would say that the Big 12 gives them more of that than those other, than the Super 2. Yeah. Trademark Craig Smoke do.
Yeah, Super 2, trademark me. I think you're right as far as if they were forced into a decision like that, that you could still somehow maintain most of your independence or your football independence. I also think there's very much a looking down the nose at the Big 12, and that would come from Notre Dame. And I don't know if that would be prohibitive to them wanting to do an alliance of any sort. But, yeah, I mean, if you're the Big 12 on the other end of the phone, you're saying yes in no time at all. Absolutely, if that were to somehow, that opportunity were to fall in your front porch, then yeah, you're absolutely all in on that. But I don't know, that's an interesting part of this, definitely the Notre Dame aspect of that hinges so much on what happens with the ACC. But yeah, if you're Brett, you're Mark, you better be ready for anything.
Would Notre Dame be able to convince Cal and Stanford to hold their nose to be a part of that?
Would the Big 12 want them to be a part of it?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think they would.
I don't think they would,
there's
to
enough,
your question.
There's enough just negativity there and a kind of this arrogance there.
I think they would choose some other route then. Yeah. I think they would choose to go and try to rejoin with Oregon State and Washington State and reignite the pack rather than join the Big 12.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Just based on what we've learned and even talking to those who cover that area. Garrett Ross, is that it, Paul?
No. Oh, that's number one, how does this affect the Big 12? We've been talking about that the whole time anyway, but they would stand to gain. Like I think Louisville would be their first call because I think that's something that would happen. But if you look at it, how, like, if it went down the basketball list, right, and I'm taking North Carolina off this thing here because I think that's not what they want. But if you went down the basketball list of, we can definitely get Louisville, we can definitely get Pitt, we can probably get Syracuse, and I bet you we can get Duke. Like, that's what I would do if I were them. You know, basketball-wise.
Why would Duke not have the same feeling about the Big 12 that you see from Stanford and Cal?
Because, again, small private school. Same with, like,
they're not, you know, West Coast elitist, like, looking down their nose at the truck stop and all that BS that we see, like, on from, like, very overly dramatic accounts. But, I think that's just – they've never been approached about it, for one. It's never been a realistic thing, really, and – whereas the West Coast side, they had the opportunity to pluck from the Big 12, right? And they said, no, we're not interested. You don't fit our culture. And it's just they wanted Texas. They, you know, there was a time when they were interested in some of the schools, but that fell through. And then another time it fell through. And then here recently, it was made very clear kind of where lines were drawn, with the exception of Arizona schools and Colorado and Utah. I mean, how does this affect the Big 12? There will definitely be shrapnel, and I think that if you're, again, Brett Yormark and crew, you've just got to be ready, but I'd be awfully interested to see kind of the prioritized list of what kind of an order would there be. If you had your choice, and you're being realistic, so take North Carolina off the list, but beyond that, what would be ideal? And I think that just kind of depending on how it goes, you don't swallow the whole conference up and you've got a 25, you know, a thing, unless that's just the direction that it goes, you got to be a bit more selective, but I'd be fascinated to see what a list like that looks like.
All right. Thank you, everybody that's been a part of the chat. Just saw another super chat come up from our conversation with Tim Brando, as I mentioned earlier. All of you, appreciate you every day that you give us whatever time it might be. Please hit the like and subscribe button if you haven't already. Or tell somebody else about the show as we continue to grow. We appreciate that. For Garrett Ross, thank you, Garrett. Levi Caraway, Emery Winter, Jack McKenzie. Jack is on his way on the road, Paul. Is that right? Jack's going to be on a road trip?
He's going to be in Memphis.
Memphis covering the Baylor men's basketball team. Obviously, the tournament, the first day. We've seen these games, including two more tonight. The mega day tomorrow. Who's going to be the first? Oh, my God. Look at that. We'll see that. Greg Smoke, Paul Catalina. I'm David Smoke. To all of our sponsors, we continue to grow with you two and them. This is 365 Sports Tonight.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.